Washington is NBC News correspondent John Chancellor.
And in a few moments, we'll be going to the auditorium in the Executive Office Building on the White House grounds here in Washington, where Vice President Agnew will make a statement and answer some questions. It was revealed this week that federal investigators are looking into Mr. Agnew's records in connection with an alleged kickback scheme, a scheme that may involve some of his closest political associates in the state of Maryland. And there you see the room in the Executive Office Building, and there you see the Vice President.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a very short statement to make, following which I'll take your questions. Because of defamatory statements that are being leaked to the news media by sources that the news reports refer to as close to the federal investigation, I cannot adhere to my original intention to remain silent following my initial statement a few days ago, which asserted my innocence and which indicated I would have nothing further to say until the investigation was completed. Under normal circumstances, the traditional safeguard of secrecy under such proceedings would protect the subject. But apparently this protection is not to be extended to the Vice President of the United States. Well, I have no intention to be skewered in this fashion. And since I have no intention to be so skewered, I've called this press conference to label as false and scurrilous and malicious these rumors, these assertions and accusations that are being circulated, and to answer your questions regarding them and any other questions that I might be able to answer concerning the general situation.
If you are invited or subpoenaed by the grand jury in Baltimore County, how would you respond?
As I understand it, Mr. Tice, this grand jury that is in the process of investigating me is a federal grand jury in Baltimore City, not a grand jury in Baltimore County. I have retained counsel to advise me about the request of the grand jury to provide certain information to them concerning my financial papers. And let me emphasize at the outset that I have nothing to hide, that from time to time during my public life, I have made available statements of my net worth, my assets. I've most recently done this in May of 1973. Moreover, in 1966, at the time of the gubernatorial campaign, and in 1968, at the time of the first presidential campaign, I was accused of conflicts of interest and was thoroughly investigated and exonerated of those accusations. So I emphasize that I have absolutely nothing to hide in this respect. How and when this information will be made available will depend on the advice of my counsel. I made all my records available to counsel. I will be advised by them as to the appropriate way in which this information will be made available. I'm aware, as you are, that there is intense public discussion concerning certain very important and unprecedented constitutional questions. I would remind you that I've been in public life now for many years, and even though I'm a lawyer, I don't consider myself sufficient of a constitutional authority to make a judgment in these matters.
Vice President, are you denying outright the published charges that you received $1,000 a week in kickbacks?
I am denying them outright, and I'm labeling them, and I think a person in my position at a time like this might be permitted this departure from normal language as damned lies.
Mr. Vice President, what would you say are the motives of people who are, as you put it, leaking this information? U.S. Attorney is a Republican appointee in Baltimore. Is it a political motivation?
First of all, Mr. Lisgor, I have no knowledge of who is leaking this information. As you ladies and gentlemen know, one of the things that the press does best is protect its sources. So I could not comment in response to the motives of the individuals because I don't know who they are. I would say this, that the accusations that are being made, if they do come from people who are also under investigation, must be looked at as accusations that are coming from those who have found themselves in very deep trouble and are looking to extricate themselves from this trouble and are flirting with the idea that they can obtain immunity or reduced charges, perhaps, by doing so. Now, I have no tangible or definite information about the leaks. I can only respond to your questions about what I know and my position on what's been said.
Vice President,
have you ever had a political slush fund financed by Baltimore County contractors?
Never.
Mr. Vice President?
Yes.
Vice President, did you talk to President Nixon about your idea of having this press conference, and did he encourage or discourage you?
Yesterday, I had a meeting with President Nixon that lasted about an hour and three quarters in which we discussed this matter, and I want to say at the outset, I cannot, because of the normal requirement that I've imposed on myself of relating what takes place in my conversations with the president, get into the subject matter of it. I will say that we had a far-reaching discussion. I informed the president of my intention to have this press conference, and he made no objection. The idea of having the press conference was my own idea.
Mr. Vice President, yes. In the letter presented to you, sir, from the U.S. Attorney's Office, were you asked personally to appear before the grand jury? And could you define for us also some of the papers that they asked you to present?
The letter that was handed to one of my counsel by the prosecutors in Baltimore requested that I provide the usual financial information that is requested in investigations of this type, I believe, bank statements, checks, savings account books, deposit slips, and the like. Wait, just a minute. Did that answer enough of your question?
Did they ask you to appear personally?
They did not. They have not requested me to appear personally. They merely asked for this information.
Mr. Vice President, the charges seem to come from Mr. Wolf, who worked for you in Baltimore and Annapolis and here. Is he lying if his charges are reported correctly?
Well, first of all, I don't know whether Mr. Wolf has made any charges at this time, so I could not answer the question on that basis.
$1,000 a week are attributed to him.
Attributed to him, but we must draw a distinction between rumor and the fact, and in a question as exactly legal as the one I face, I would not respond to something I'm not certain of.
Mr. Vice President,
sir? Did the letter identify you as a target of the grand jury probe?
No, it did not.
Mr. Vice President, would you expect Mr. Nixon to make a personal statement of confidence in you?
I have no expectation of such a statement. I would not solicit such a statement. I am certain from my conversation with the president, in which he did express confidence in me directly to me, that that's all I need.
Mr. Vice President, have you ever received money for your personal use from any person, contractor, or company doing business with the state of Maryland or with the federal government?
Absolutely not.
Mr. Vice President, what are you being investigated
for? I promise back here, and then I'll come back. Yes.
Mr. Vice President, what do you think prompted this investigation to begin?
I have no idea that I could be accurate on that because I am not privy to the workings of the prosecutor's office in Baltimore. But from what I understand, the investigation began as a result of certain occurrences in Baltimore County very recently.
Mr. Vice President, how long have you known, sir, of this investigation involving you?
I've been aware through rumor of this investigation since February.
When you say your discussion yesterday was far-reaching with the president, Did it extend to the possibility that you might resign should the charges ever be proved? Or
I'm not going to discuss my my conversation with the president. I'm sorry.
Yes. Is it your belief, sir, that the doctrine of the separation of powers applies to your office as well as to the presidency?
As I said previously, my belief is of very little weight because I do not consider myself a profound constitutional scholar, and we have some of the best constitutional authorities in the country who've been looking at this question, not from a standpoint of the investigation concerning me, but from a broad standpoint for a long time, and I'd rather defer to their judgments. Way in the back.
Mr. Vice President, did that letter from the prosecutor say why they asked for your bank statement?
The letter indicated that I was under investigation for possible violations of the criminal statutes.
Did it say which statutes?
Yes.
Can you amplify? You said you've known this through rumors in February. What do you mean?
I mean that friends of mine have indicated to me that there have been rumors in the cocktail circuit that various allegations coming out of the investigation have mentioned my name.
Let me
continue with that to say that when I became aware of this, recognizing that some of the people who had been mentioned in news reports as being under investigation were persons who had served with me either in the county or the state, as well as with their existing principals, their immediate principals, I thought it was circumspect that I established a contact with the prosecutor's office in Baltimore. I did not think it would be correct for me to make a personal contact under the circumstances. So I employed counsel who contacted the prosecutor and informed him that he was concerned of the fact that some of these rumors indicated that I was trying to apply some kind of pressure from here in Washington to impede this investigation. My counsel notified the prosecutor that such was not the case, that I wanted him to thoroughly understand that I would in no way attempt to impede the investigation, and that if any other questions arose, he could relate them to me through my counselor.
Mr. Vice President,
aside from whether you discussed it with the president or not, have you ever considered stepping down even temporarily until the matter is cleared up?
I have not.
Mr. Vice President, if the investigation should progress and get more serious, even though you would feel yourself innocent, might you consider stepping down just to protect public confidence?
Let me say right now, I have no expectation of being indicted, and I am not going to face any kind of contingent thinking in that respect at this time.
Mr. Vice President, is it your intention to continue from time to time to take questions publicly as you have today as the investigation proceeds?
I don't think it would be, candidly, I don't think it would be advisable for me to respond to every unattributed source statement that might appear in such a volatile matter in the media between now and the time the investigation has been completed. It is not my intention. At least I have no thought of, in my mind, scheduling another public appearance before the press, but I do not foreclose the possibility based on how the situation develops.
Mr. Vice President,
yes.
Could you clear up one thing for us? You said that this matter of your documents, your bank statements, and et cetera, were in your lawyer's hands. Are you saying that if your lawyers decide that for constitutional or other reasons this information should not go to the grand jury or the U.S. attorney, you would agree with your lawyer's decision?
I have not decided exactly what I'm going to do. Again, we're in the realm of a contingent appraisal, and I think the hardest thing that you can do in politics is try to look at all the developing contingencies and answer them before they happen. It's a good way to waste a lot of time.
How about your own personal appearance? If you were invited to appear before the grand jury,
the
would
same.
You go?
Naturally, I'm going to consult with my attorneys. I don't say that I'm going to abide blindly by what they recommend. I have to listen to them. I wouldn't have hired them if I didn't have confidence in them. But I'm not going to make these judgments at this time. Yes.
Mr. Vice President, did the U.S. attorney also ask for campaign contribution records from you?
He need not ask for those because they're all of record in Annapolis.
Did they include?
He has not asked for them.
From contractors in the state of Maryland?
I would suspect that they do, because anyone that's been around the political scene in the United States who would expect that campaign contributions don't come with contractors doing business with state and federal government is quite naive.
Mr. Vice President, would you tell us when and how you first made the President aware of the fact that you were under investigation?
I am not really certain that I can tell you that, not that I have any reason to avoid it, but that I can't remember. I think that I discussed this matter with, when I began to hear these rumors, with General Haig, who brought them to the President's attention. That's the best of my recollection.
Mr. Vice President?
Yes.
Would it be fair to say from your contacts, with your attorney's contacts with the U.S. Attorney, that you prompted the letter to you from the U.S. Attorney in Baltimore?
That is not an accurate conclusion, no.
Mr. Vice President. When did you first retain counsel in this chronology going back to February?
Somewhere around the early part of April.
Mr. Vice President, you said that you were concerned about the questions you face, something to the effect, exactly legal as the questions I face.
Give me that once more.
You said a little earlier, something to the effect, exactly legal as the questions I face. Can you define the questions you face?
I don't recall the context in which I said that, and it doesn't really make much sense to me. You'd have to give me the question a little more accurately before I could answer.
My question is, can you define the kind of illegal activities that the prosecutor is investigating?
The only thing that I can tell you is that the letter related to possible violations of criminal statutes, to the best of my recollection, including bribery, tax fraud, extortion, and conspiracy. That's my recollection of it, and please don't hold me to the total accuracy of it. That's the best I can recall.
Mr. Vice President, prior to the time your counsel told the U.S. Attorney that you were not trying to impede the investigation, were any contacts made with the U.S. Attorney, either authorized by you or encouraged by you with the U.S. Attorney,
to
gain
information? Not to my knowledge.
Mr. Vice President, were you aware...
Certainly not authorized or encouraged by me. Yes.
Were you aware during your career in Maryland of an atmosphere of corruption there under the administrations that have preceded you?
No, I wasn't.
Vice President, let me get back.
I'll get you next after I get him.
I'd like to ask you, sir, do these charges which you call damn lies make you more or less in the mood for running for president?
Well, as you can well imagine, this is a singularly distressing situation for any public official to find himself in, regardless of how scurrilous or inaccurate such charges may be, and I've never enjoyed, any kind of assault upon my integrity. I'm not really thinking about that right now. I'm thinking about affirming having my innocence affirmed in these matters. All the way in the back.
Have you heard of any of these contractors connected with your investigation who have been investigated before by the Justice Department and tied to any of the other investigations we've had in recent years of Baltimore contractors?
I'm not really in a position to know that. I don't know.
Mr. Vice President.
President. A couple of details, sir. Could you tell us the month, that the approximate time that you made the President aware, and the approximate time that your attorney contacted the prosecutor?
My attorney contacted the prosecutor in April. I made the President aware, I would suppose, very shortly after that.
Is this attorney who contacted the prosecutor from Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Garrison, and Wharton, or is it your Washington attorney?
This is my Washington attorney, Mr. Judah Best.
Mr. Vice President, have you or your attorneys made any attempt to obtain FBI or Justice Department files in connection with this investigation?
No, we have not.
Will they?
I don't think so. I don't think that we would. I would not encourage the use of any kind of approach to this case that would allow me privileges not readily available to any person under investigation.
Vice President, could you talk a little bit about the period to which these charges refer? I mean, how did you approach your dealings with the contractors?
What kind
of ethics did you have? Did you feel that you had as you dealt with them?
I did not deal with contractors. at all. I had some people who were in the engineering business who were longtime friends and political supporters. I did not ever have any financial transactions with these people. I did consult with them. I did listen to their complaints. I did allow them access, as most political figures do, to persons who are supportive of their political campaigns.
Did any of these contractors ever offer anything approaching a bribe or any...
I don't know who these contractors are, so I can't answer that question, but I will say that, and I can't remember the exact circumstances, it's a matter of news record way back in the county records. At one time I was offered a bribe, and I reported the bribe.
Mr. Vice President?
Yes.
I may be legally unsound in this question, but is it possible that you might wish to request a grand jury to hear you waiving your immunity and telling your story to them so that they will have all the facts from your point of view?
I think in matters of approaching the legal procedures, I must suppress the natural inclination of a lawyer to think he knows how to run his own case, to conduct his own response to an investigation, and listen to my counsel. This is very hard for a lawyer to do, and I understand lawyers are the worst clients in the world.
Yes. After you sent word through General Haig about this matter to the president, did you ever speak to him personally about it before your meeting yesterday?
I may have spoken to him very briefly in the course of other discussions about it, indicating that as far as I knew, since contact had been established between the prosecutor and my attorney, that there had been no indication that the prosecutor was in any way concerned about any allegations that had been made against me. And that would have been probably back in May or sometime around that time. Way back.
When was the last time you had any income other than from government salaries?
Well, you mean income to me or income that went through my account? I did have some income that went through my account when the Agnew T-shirts and watches came out, and I wanted to take advantage of those things for charity, and as a matter of fact, I think about $35,000 went through my account that was given to the Mexican children and to some other charities. Aside from that, I've had income in my account from some mutual funds that are in a blind trust that I established when I became vice president. And of course, I had some income from some stock investments that didn't relate to the state of Maryland when I was governor. But all these things have been reported in my income taxes. And incidentally, I might add that my income taxes have been professionally prepared by a large accounting organization since 1967, and of course that's the date that begins this investigation.
Mr. Vice President, yes. Since your legal situation is more delicate and maybe more immediate than President Nixon's, could you tell us why you're having a press conference and he hasn't had one for so long?
The best answer I can give you to that is that President Nixon hasn't received a letter from the United States Attorney telling him that he's under investigation.
Let me continue
with this, and I think the matter of how President Nixon is going to respond to the matters that are being discussed currently regarding him is a matter for his own determination, and I want to repeat, I have absolutely total confidence in him and that the fact that his response is going to be entirely satisfactory.
Well, you're suggesting that a U.S. attorney's letter could produce the press conference.
Well, all I can tell you is a U.S. attorney's letter is not the kind of thing that makes you feel comfortable. Go ahead.
I understand, Mr. Vice President, that you got the letter from the U.S. attorney last week, and you did not at the time inform the president of this.
I informed the president. I got the letter on August the 2nd, and I informed the president through General Haig immediately.
Of the letter?
Of the letter. But I did not speak with the president until yesterday.
Since I received this letter, it hasn't taken up a very large portion of my workday. It has. I do not intend to let it interfere with the execution of my vice presidential duties. I have appearances scheduled. I intend to keep those appearances. I've had a very busy month, and the matter has not affected me and my work schedule up until the time I received this letter. We've been very occupied with a succession of foreign visitors, and I've been involved in those visits. I've had, as the people in this room probably know better than anyone else, a rather unusual number of interviews recently, and I have made quite a few other appearances. Now, the second part of your question concerning the Watergate atmosphere, if I said I thought that was involved in this, I'd have to say, if I were in your position listening to that, that that was a very self-serving declaration. I leave it to your judgment whether it is or not.
Mr. Vice President, there are a great many other people in the administration who are, to say the least, under a cloud. Could you tell us what there is in the administration that has led to this state of affairs?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm ready to characterize myself as under a cloud, and I assume that when you say other people, you imply that I am. What a cloud is often in the eyes of the beholder. And I think that for me to try to respond to that, where you are obviously applying one set of criteria and I another, would be an exercise in futility.
Mr. Vice President, are you satisfied with the White House statement through a deputy press secretary, a rather grudging expression of confidence in you?
Let me say this. I think the Vice President of the United States should stand on his own feet. It really isn't that important what a president says, although I welcome the president's support, and as I would reassert, he has given me it unequivocally. But I think the office of Vice President is an important enough one that the man has to stand on his own feet. So I'm not spending my time looking around to see who's supporting me. I'm defending myself.
Yes. Could you speak to specifics of the charges against you?
I could not, because I'm not aware of the specifics.
Mr. Vice President, you used the term a damn lies and scurrilous, I think, to refer to the newspaper.
That's one of my favorite words, I guess.
To refer to the newspaper reports about the inquiry. Did you mean that also to imply to whatever allegations or evidence?
You'd have to give me some specifics. I think you're making a very great transference and jump.
Well, I just wanted to be sure that you weren't too.
You know that I have said nothing that could be interpreted as even mildly critical of the news media for an awful long time.
Well, Vice President, I'm still a little curious about the sequence of events. If you sent your attorney to talk to the U.S. attorney in Baltimore, he must have said something to your attorney that would have led you to believe that you were under investigation at that point.
No,
it wouldn't have taken
you not. All he said was he welcomed the avenue of communication and that he would keep my attorney advised if he felt there was any necessity for it.
Mr. Vice President, before that, had anyone either directly or indirectly threatened to drag you into this unless you helped to kill the Baltimore County investigation?
Well, I'm not going to respond to that question at this time because it's premature for me to make such judgments. If you say, with a direct contact to me, I would say no. I don't want to make any assertions in a matter this sensitive that I am not absolutely sure are accurate, and I'm not going to foreclose the possibility that such things may have happened. Neither am I going to assert at this moment that they did. Yes.
Did anyone ask you to kill an investigation in Baltimore County?
No, no one asked me to do it.
Mr. Vice President, will you release the letter?
Will I release the letter? Why not? Yes.
Do you think it at all possible that this investigation was begun in order to counteract talks about impeachment of Mr. Nixon?
I have no idea about the motives of the investigation, but let me say this. I have no reason to suspect that the prosecutors in Baltimore are antagonistic. I don't even know these gentlemen, with the exception of the U.S. attorney, whom I know very casually. And for me to suspect some kind of nefarious conduct on their part would be, I think, a little paranoid. I don't. I am concerned, as I said in my opening statement, very concerned about the fact that these leaks in the news media are identified by the news media as leaks coming from sources close to the federal investigation. I'm going to take two more questions. Yes.
Did you say a while ago that you were offered a bribe at one time?
I reported on the fact that in Baltimore County many years ago, before I became county executive, as I recall, that I was.
You reported this to authorities?
I did not at that time reported it. I mentioned it and reported it later on. If you want to ask me why I didn't report it, I can only say that I was very inexperienced and quite uninformed about such matters at the time.
You mentioned a while ago someone being naive if they didn't know something about the way contractors did business, but I didn't quite get what you were saying.
I'll give you the transcript.
I don't understand to what extent you are willing to cooperate with the prosecuting attorney in the investigation. To what extent are you willing to turn over your
I'm going to answer that again, and this is the last question I'll take. As I said before, I have nothing to hide. I will make available to, at the appropriate time and the appropriate way, to the appropriate parties, as determined after consultation with my counsel, whatever records, my own body for interrogation, whatever is needed. But I'm not going to make those judgments at this time. As you know, there are certainly highly unprecedented constitutional questions that must be considered. So I'm not foreclosing any result in that respect. I'm just not able to reach that at this time. Thank you very much.
And so we've seen a moment in history not very often seen in this country, a Vice President of the United States discussing a letter that he received from federal prosecutors in Baltimore saying that he was being investigated in connection with charges, as Mr. Agnew put it. He recalled them to be bribery, tax fraud, extortion, and conspiracy. He denied specifically certain reports that have been in the newspapers, one that he was getting $1,000 a week at one point from a contractor. He said that's a damned lie. He did say that he has known about, on what he called rumors on the cocktail circuit, that he was could be a figure in these investigations for some time, that he informed the White House about it in April. That's more than 3 months ago. Nothing was said. He seemed to be implying that he didn't know if he would be named or not, that he got a letter saying that he was a target of the investigation on the 2nd of August. He told the White House, the President, through General Haig, immediately, but that he didn't speak to the President until yesterday, a gap of 5 days. With me is NBC News correspondent Paul Duke, who was listening when we all heard the Vice President. Paul, briefly, he did raise, at the beginning and at the end, what he called highly unprecedented constitutional questions. Do you suppose that the Vice President will cite the separation of powers and the executive branch and not appear before the grand jury if he's asked?
Well, that possibility certainly exists, John, to say the very least. There are two things about the performance today, or maybe three things. One is that the Vice President certainly decided to meet this head on, unlike the President, who has not held a news conference now, I believe, since last March, and has not answered any reporter's questions about Watergate. Mr. Agnew, just 2 days after this newest episode involving the administration and possible wrongdoing has broken, has decided to face the press. The second thing which I find startling is the fact that this has been kept quiet so long. As Mr. Agnew indeed did say, the rumors have been in existence. At least he has been aware of rumors involving him since last February. And the third thing, it seems to me, that Mr. Agnew was saying was he was implying that there has been some kind of frame-up, that he may be the victim of a frame-up, perhaps by persons who were seeking, in their own behalf, a certain immunity from prosecution.
He did raise the possibility, or he, at least he seemed to know of a report that I certainly haven't heard of, but that hasn't been circulating here in Washington, that he may have been drawn into this investigation because he failed to get it killed early on. The vice president did not specifically deny that. He said it would not be constructive to discuss it at this time. And it should be pointed out in that connection that the investigation in the state of Maryland is being carried out by a U.S. attorney who was appointed by President Nixon and who comes from one of the oldest Republican, classically Republican, families in the state of Maryland.
And an attorney who was recommended by the vice president himself, John.
So that the political considerations here do not indicate that it is the Democrats out to get the Republican vice president, but it does indicate to us, on the basis of what we've heard the vice president say here, that he has known of possible trouble since February, that he may have known of more serious trouble since last April, over 3 months ago, and that when he did receive the letter saying that he was a target, he was forced to go public with it. If he did inform the president of this in April, and I think the notes would show that, it shows what a difficult time Mr. Nixon was having, because at the end of April, Mr. Nixon was forced to fire John Dean and get rid of Haldeman and Ehrlichman. That concludes this special report from here in Washington. As we say, an extraordinary moment in American history, the vice president in that news conference.
This has been an NBC News special report and has come to you from Washington.